20 years ago, the United States faced a new drug scourge. Crack cocaine flooded urban America, spreading a plague of desperation and crime. With it came a new phenomenon, thousands of children born and labeled crack babies. Many ended up in foster homes. When the drug first hit the streets of New York in the 80s, the city had 17,000 children in foster care. A decade later, that number had soared to 50,000. Many of the children had been exposed to crack cocaine before birth. This evening, we'll hear from several people who've been affected in some way by the crack epidemic. We begin with Antoine Garcia in New York. His mother recently told him she had actually been taking angel dust while pregnant with him. Even so, he was labeled a crack baby. Antoine has written an essay about that stigma for Represent, a magazine that deals with children in foster care.
I don't know if I was born with drugs in my body or not, but my mom used drugs while she was pregnant with me. So it wasn't long before kids at school were calling me a crack baby. It started in the fourth grade. My teachers asked me to read from a Dr. Seuss book. I struggled with the first word. Maybe it's because I was actually born with crack in my system, or maybe just because my home was chaotic and my parents never sat down with me and read me stories or taught me the ABCs. At the time, I lived across from one of the most notorious crack houses on 125th Street. My pops was a well-known pimp, and he and all my uncles hustled in Harlem. As I struggled to read, the other kids began to giggle. This one kid who lived near me and knew about my living condition said, "He can't read because he's a crack baby." What? Babies who sniff crack? I knew I didn't do things like that.
Antoine Garcia joins us in our New York bureau. Antoine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, it must have been pretty amazing to find out that you were what people were calling a crack baby at the time. You said you didn't even know what it meant then, huh?
I actually didn't find out until about another year or two later. Nobody actually sat down and broke down what was crack baby. I never told nobody the situation. So after the situation happened, the next day I never came back to school.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you learned your ABCs now.
Yeah, it took me 6 months, but I learned them. All that reading and writing, it was a very hard struggle. I couldn't, since I was in a household where I couldn't really talk to no one, so my best way of letting go of what I felt, the anger and all that, the labels that was putting upon me, I just started writing. And that was kind of ironic for a kid who didn't learn how to read or write till the age 11, starting to become a writer at the age 20.
So that writing really helped you get rid of that stigma then?
Yeah, it did. It's just, I used to write, I had this one page, and I used to write like everything people labeled me. You know, label me as I wouldn't become anything, and I was going to be just like my father, and I was going to be locked up, and, you know, I came from a broken home, so I wasn't going to be in much, and I just wrote that down, and what I felt afterwards, you know, the loneliness I felt being isolated, so it fueled my determination. I felt I had something to prove.
Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself now. You're 20 years old, I understand, and in college, right?
Correct. I'm a freelance writer to Represent Magazine, also to NYC. I'm in LaGuardia Community College studying journalism.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Antoine.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
With Antoine in our New York studio is Keith Hefner, one of the founders of Represent Magazine, which published the essay by Antoine and others affected by the crack epidemic. Keith Hefner was involved with after-school programs when the crack epidemic hit.
Students started telling us they couldn't stay late any longer. And we asked them why, and they said that crack dealers had taken over their projects. And we had heard a little bit about crack. In fact, the first crack bust in New York was in 1984. But we didn't realize until that moment the impact that it was starting to have. And that was on a Friday afternoon in April 86. And we sent a group of kids out over the weekend. We asked them to interview everyone they knew about crack and find out what they could find out. And they came back on Monday, and they'd interviewed 73 people, teenagers, 28 of whom admitted to using crack. And as you might expect, we were in shock. And we changed the cover of our next issue, called it Crack Attack, and wrote about the impact that the drug was having, as it was just this ripping through the communities, poor communities especially at that time.
Keith's magazine, Represent, also published an essay called Pieces Missing by a mother who used to be addicted to crack cocaine. That mother is with us today and wishes to remain anonymous, but we welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
Well, why don't you begin by reading an excerpt from what you wrote?
In 1991, I gave birth to a son with a positive tox. He went into care as soon as he was born. I could only see him at the agency once or twice a week. The visits hurt. My son would cry when he had to leave. They had to separate us because as he left, he was still reaching out. That made me want to get high even more, even though I knew that wouldn't help me get my baby back. Because we weren't together when he was young, I don't think my son and I ever bonded. He doesn't look at me the way my other children do, and I don't feel about him the same way I do about my other children. That hurts both of us. At times, I reminisce with my kids about their first tooth or when they started walking, and I don't know those parts of my youngest son's life. It makes him feel different, like he's not really part of this family, or like he's the foster child here. At this point, it seems to me that my son doesn't really want to be here. I want us to be close, but I don't know if we can. There's pieces missing.
I understand that you went through rehab. How difficult was it for you to stop?
Well, it was really, really hard. It was hard because it was like, it was everywhere. You know, it was like no way I could turn. I would tell myself I'm not going to do it anymore. Like I stated earlier, I would write a list that I'm going to buy these groceries. But as soon as you get the money in your hand, there's people everywhere. You know, I got this, I got that. And so I would go and get it.
You mean drug dealers everywhere?
Right, the drug dealers is not out there like that. You know, it's like everywhere you go at that time, they was there. But it's a little better out there now.
Mm-hmm. Your essay is several pages long with lots of experiences and detail. Was it kind of difficult for you to own up to what you had gone through or done and to put it down on paper?
Oh, not at this time. No, you know, maybe in the beginning it would have been hard, but at this time, oh, I have no problem with wording what I'm saying because I want to help other people. I really wish I had somebody out there to help me at the time, but I'm glad I got here, you know, with 10 years clean. I'm glad I'm here.
10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, my God. On the 11th, it'd be 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with a mother in East Harlem, New York. Her essay titled Pieces Missing appears in Represent Magazine, a publication about young people in foster care. We were also joined by young essayist Antoine Garcia and publisher Keith Hefner. To read the essays, go to npr.org.